put on our Facebook page. The one that is, this sounds a little more aggressive. So I didn't want to be aggressive, but behind the scenes at my house, I would say something like this. Make up your mind. Anybody ever said make up your mind? I know when I grew up, I was always getting in trouble going inside and outside, inside and outside. They'd say either get in or get out. And I was thinking of that this morning this week as I've been studying for Joshua chapter 24. It is that passage of scripture that you may have. I know someone, when Miss Cindy and I got married, we're getting ready to celebrate our 34th wedding anniversary, and I remember someone cross-stitched us the date of our wedding, and I believe if I remember correctly, it had this verse on it. It had the statement from this verse on it. And it was at the top of our steps, so I saw that every day. I didn't always stare at it, but I just saw it a lot in my life. And you probably have had this in a picture frame in your home or a bookmark or, you know, it's one of those verses that we especially put up in our homes. And I want you to notice it with me. You know this verse, of course. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, the Bible says this, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Y'all see that? Choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But let's look at the last part. Will y'all read it out loud with me? You know this. You probably have this memorized and didn't know where it was at. But let's look at the last part of the verse. Y'all ready? Here we go. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many of y'all have heard that verse before? Let's say that one more time. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to preach here in these next few moments. You decide. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We ask you to be with us. We thank you for this time and opportunity. I thank you for folks here in person, folks that are, I see several watching online this morning. But Lord, I pray as we've gathered around your word that you'll bless. Lord, we've shared prayer requests. We've raised hands. We've gave an offering. We've sang. We've come together. We've fellowshiped. I hope everybody feels welcome. And Lord, I know most importantly, they're welcome with you. Lord, I pray now that you'd help us as we look at this time of decision, as we think about decisions that are made in our lives. And I pray you just help us today. And Lord, you know every need. Lord, you know every heart. I pray that you'd just help us in a mighty way. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd hide my finite mind and stammering tongue behind the glorious message of the cross and of the power of the Word of God. And we'll give you the praise, Lord, now in Jesus' name. Amen. All of God's people said, how many of you are pretty familiar with that verse? You've heard it quoted. You may have quoted it. In fact, it's one of those verses that we don't always remember the whole verse, or we don't even maybe remember where it's at in Scripture, but we know that it's there and we will quote it. We will put it on a picture. Because there's something about that declarative statement by this great man, Joshua. And we're coming to the end of the book of Joshua. It's interesting here as I studied this, and I have preached through the Joshua several times. It is one of my favorite things to preach. I love it. But if we begin, you really have to look at the whole chapter, not just one verse. As is so often the case in the Bible, you don't want to ever pull out a passage. You don't want to just look at a verse by itself. Now, it can have a meaning by itself, but the context is so vitally important. And as we see this statement by the great leader, Joshua, who I think in Scripture is as masculine and as a serious man as we see in all the Bible, he is a great hero for God. He comes on the scene, Joshua and Caleb. They were the two that defied the crowd, defied the others, and said, we are going to be out and out for God. And when you read Joshua, you just see that he does not live a life that is in between. He's all in. And even in this statement, he is again confronting his own people and saying, you choose today. You need to make a choice. We back up in verse 1. The Bible tells us, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. And he starts telling them what they did. They already knew this, by the way. And by the way, in the Word of God, we're reminded that even though we know something, sometimes we still need to hear it again. Did y'all know that? Even when you read the Bible, you still need to read it again. So I already know that. By the way, we do that in professions. You know, a carpenter, he knows how to measure things, but guess what? Sometimes he'll measure it twice or three times to make sure. A doctor or a lawyer will go back to their reference books and say, you know what, I know this is true, but let me double check. A teacher will go to the teacher's book and say, now let me make sure that I'm doing this correctly. And we see that in the Word of God, that you and I can go back. And Joshua's doing this, and he said, let me just remind you where we are at. And he goes on, verse 2, and he said to the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, and thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side. And he talks about, and they served other gods at the end of verse 2. Verse 3, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. He's saying what God had done and led them throughout all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed, and I gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt and sent Moses also and Aaron and plagued Egypt according to that which I did. And he's given them the play-by-play that they should have known, but they forgot. And he reminds them, verse 7, and they cried unto the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He tells them about coming out of Egypt. He comes on down, verse 10, but I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over. You can read this whole account. I'm just kind of skipping through it. He talks about, in verse 11, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. I remember as a kid in church thinking, God can beat all those ites. I didn't understand what all they were, but that's important. He's telling them, God's given you victory over all of these things. And I sent the hornet before you and drave them out from before you, even to the kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor. I've given you this promised land. Despite everything that you've done, I've given you all these things and the cities which ye built not. And ye dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted and do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And then we see our text verse, if it seem evil to you. And so we see here this morning that he lays this message out, this charge, if for lack of a better word, to his own people. He is coming to the end of his life. And in fact, you'll read your Bible, the next passage, the next book of the Bible is the book of Judges. And the Bible, in fact, when we get into Judges, we'll find that the nation of Israel did that which is right in their own eyes. One of the reasons that preachers, I think American preachers in particular, read Joshua and Judges is when we read this, it seems very much like where our country is. It seems very much like where individual families are. It seems very much like where our denominations and our churches are. They are in between two opinions and they are halting, and God's people were up and down, up and down, up and down. Sometimes they would follow the Lord and they would listen to Joshua and they would be that person, but sometimes they would say, no, we're going to serve the gods on the other side. We're going to, despite everything that God had done. And so God uses Joshua here to give them a time of decision. He says in verse 14 or verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose. Make up your mind. Now, I read some commentaries about that, read some different sermons about that, some tremendous sermons, and one of the consensus is that despite everything that God had done, the nation of Israel still had a mixed multitude. There were still people who were not like Joshua. There were still people who had mixed in and were not really followers of the Lord, and these, like Joshua and Caleb, came to the forefront because they were out and out for God. And the Lord wants people who are going to really, truly serve Him, not in lip service, but in deed and in action. I want to give you just an outline this morning to just get our minds thinking about these things. There is five things I think you see just in this passage. First of all, there was, number one, a coldness. There's somehow, some way, as you see Joshua kind of reiterate what had happened, they had either forgot or had grown weary or had grown cold toward what had taken place. I believe that's why. Now, they answer this very well right here. In this moment, I'm going to read the verses in just a second. Well, I'll go ahead and read them now. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." That was the right answer. They said, "God forbid, Joshua, you are right. That is exactly what we ought to do." But if you read just a few pages over and you begin in the book of Judges, you'll see that this was very short-lived. And I think Joshua knew that. Joshua knew, like we know today, how prone we are to wander. As the old hymn says, to leave the one I love. The old hymn writers, the old Puritans used to talk about how even the most devout and sincere and followers of Christ, because of this old wicked flesh we battle, we're prone to wander. We're prone to leave. We're living in a world today of what's called deconstructionism, postmodernism, anti-Christianity. If you don't believe that, just look up Twitter and Facebook and blogs and YouTube, and there's very little, and comparatively speaking, that's pro-Christian. Much of it is anti-Christian. And it's no secret. We live in that world. Even preachers and denominations, we have battles today over things that we should not have battles because we just don't want to choose and say, you know what, as for me and my house, we just will serve the Lord. That was the confrontation, and there was a coldness. Despite all the works of God, despite the blessings of God. Now, I remind you now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. You remember that little song you used to sing? I love that song. Y'all want to sing it? No, but anyway. I know, man. Some people don't like to sing. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. I love that song. I've heard it sing bluegrass, southern gospel. I mean, contemporary. I've heard it every way. And it's always good because it's true. He fought the God battle. God caused Jericho to fall flat. Have you remember that story? Seven times around in the walls. I love those. Anybody know? Y'all looking at me like, I should get a quartet up here. Let's go ahead and sing that thing. I love that. And the reason is because even as a kid, many of you have grown up in church. Oh man, what a great story. But it's true. And then Joshua fought so hard that even in the book of Joshua, and there's a lot going on in the book of Joshua, that the sun stood still. Like, brother, I said, you short read it. The sun stood still. The sun stands still. Jericho falls. They cross the Jordan River. I mean, they get victory. They defeat this one. They defeat that one. All these things are going on in the book of Joshua. They're delivered out of Egypt. They're delivered and delivered and delivered. And God moves and works in a mighty way. And they still, though, say, well, I just don't know. I don't know. It reminds me of being the pastor in a place for a quarter of a century and knocking on doors and knocking on doors and knocking on doors and visiting and visiting and people knowing God had blessed them, knowing God had been good to them, knowing God had been merciful, and they still will say, well, we don't know. That's exactly what the nation of Israel had gotten to. It was that despite all the works God had done, despite all the blessings, despite what was right in front of them, I mean, Joshua was that man. He is one of my heroes. I love him. He was that man that said, I'll go, I'll fight, we can win, God's in charge. I mean, he was a leader. You could do the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. Just look at Joshua's life. And the reason he was a great leader is he sat under a great leader and he followed a great leader and he surrendered to God. Despite what was right in front of them. We shouldn't be surprised though, should we, when Judas Iscariot, despite what was right in front of him. And by the way, if you study your Bibles much, many of you probably have done this. Joshua is a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You could even see the name Joshua. And I could go on this morning. So we see there, he makes this declaration because there was a coldness. But we also see this is a command. You look in verse 15, it says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you. And I want you to notice this, if you highlight things or underline things, choose this day. Joshua confronted them. He was not a squeamish leader, you know. A lot of times we don't like the confrontation of in the moment. Because he realized, hey, listen, every single day you got to keep choosing to serve God. You can't make one choice and say, well, you know, it's like the fellow that got married. I know this is an old tired joke, but heard about the fellow that got married and his wife was complaining, said, he never tells me that he loves me. And he said, well, I told you the day we got married and I hadn't changed my mind. That don't really work very good in a marriage, right? Well, don't do very good in our Christian walk either. We can't say, well, I got saved when I was 8 years old and then go off and live like a heathen. Don't really work that way. That's not biblical. God knows everybody's heart. I'm not judging this morning, but Joshua confronts as we are confronted every day with a command. It isn't a thing of, well, I'm not sure. Indecision is destructive. Well, I just don't know. By the way, how many of y'all know this? To not decide is a decision. We wouldn't put up with our children if we asked our children to do so. Say, well, let me and my king get back to you, mom and dad. That wouldn't go over very good. Let me contemplate on that. You couldn't run a business. You couldn't be a teacher in a class. You couldn't do any of those things. And here's the same thing with God's people. It's a command. He says, this day. Now, I remind us this morning, reminded in the Word of God, behold, now is accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. There isn't a, well, I'll wait. Have y'all looked around? Have y'all noticed? And I don't want to be negative. I really don't want to pull us down this morning, but I got a phone call this week about a family that was very involved in the Burlington Revival. They go to New Hope Baptist Church where Brother Randy Hobbs is the pastor, and they had went on an anniversary trip to Southern Florida, and they were coming home, been married, I forget how many years, I think maybe 15, maybe longer than that. And they were coming back late night, and a lady had got on the interstate there near Burlington area, somewhere in North Carolina, and was going down the wrong road and hit them head on. They had three children. They're almost grown. I think one of them's 14. Had three children. And I was reminded, here's a family that loved God, that loved revival, that God used in a mighty way. And when I heard that, Miss Cindy and I both were, we were heartbroken. The pictures, Brother C.T. shared them. They were a very big part of the Burlington Revival. They're a very, very big part of that church. And they loved the Lord, raised their children in the nurtured admonition of the Lord. But we are reminded with that life can snuff in a moment. It drains on the just and the unjust. That's why the command is this day, not after anniversary, not when we get to a certain spot. No, today is the day of salvation. There's an urgency to the message of Christ, to the message of the Bible. That's the reason I've been preaching these things on decision, because I've got something in me. I'm a little indecisive. I took off yesterday. I said, well, we've moved into the parsonage. We're having a little trouble with one of our televisions. I'm going to go buy me a television. And I went to Sam's. Anybody ever heard of Sam's? By the way, if you ever want to go to Sam's, hit me up. I love Sam's. But anyway, I just love going there. And I've seen all these televisions. When I get in there, I couldn't make up my mind. Anybody else? I mean, I drove all the way from Pikeston, all the way to Bluefield Sam's. Y'all don't want to hear my boring life. But anyway, I got in there. I was like, oh, man. I didn't know there's 75 TVs in here. And I caught myself like, I don't know, man. For $10 more, you get 5 more inches? I mean, you know, I don't know. And I told Sam, I said, I'm depressed now. I'm discouraged. Let's just go home. And we did. I did get some raspberry. But anyway, worth the trip. You said, preacher, why are you saying something so silly? I'm afraid, church, this morning, there's nothing wrong with if it's your TV or a car or a set of time. I mean, it's one thing in life you can't make decisions. But sometimes Satan will use that indecision that we have when it comes to the things of God. Well, I'd get in Sunday school, or I'd sing, or I'd do, or I'd go, or I'd give, and say, well, I don't know. If it's a TV, who cares? If it's a car, no, it's of little consequence. So many decisions are not, but when it comes to the Lord, oh, no, that's different. That's different. We have to choose, and it's a command. It is, number three, a choice. You'll notice here, it's interesting, this verse, it says, choose, it says, and if it's seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, that is craziness, really. And the Bible gives us this. Choose you this day. And it goes on, it says, whether the gods which your father served that were on, I mean, he laid it out. He makes it clear. He said, you mean to make a choice. You want to go ahead and serve us. And by the way, they were gods that looked like bulls. You know, sometimes we think, well, we all going to heaven. We're going different ways. I challenge you on that. I will debate you on that. I will go toe to toe with you in an argument on that. You don't want to put your faith and trust in a God that has a fish head and human arms and the legs of a goat. And I'm making that part up, but you don't want, go to look in Hinduism. For example, at Vishnu that has an elephant head. He's the God of happiness. Go look at the different ones that look like characters off of a video game. I'm like, you mean to tell me people are putting their faith and trust in this? I was shocked. I was shocked that people were putting their faith and trust in deities and gods of things that were so weird and odd and just profane and ungodly. In fact, some of them, I've got a picture in one of my books in my library, and it's the God of fertility that is so vulgar, you can't really show it even on Facebook, but it's a God that people are putting their trust in. And so when they were saying, when Joshua was saying, choose you the gods that you're going to serve, he was saying, if you want to go serve the God that looks like a bull, or the God that looks like a cat, or the God that looks like the head of a dog, or a sphinx, or whatever it is you want to serve, you go ahead, but make the choice. Don't get in the middle here. He's saying, you decide, make up your mind. The feeling is, by some of the theologians that I read after this, that they were kind of waffling. Well, you know, God's good and everything. Man, He's the God of cleanliness and the God of life and light and freedom. But we kind of like these other gods because they have leeks and onions and garlic. We kind of like the taste. We kind of like the menu of these other gods. So he confronts them with a choice. He also confronts them with a challenge. Look back at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth and put away the gods. In other words, they must have been around. He says, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And by the way, there had been a time frame here. There had been a time frame, and they still were kind of holding on to that. I could preach a whole sermon on that. I won't this morning, but it was a challenge. And by the way, now, you got to remember, when it comes to deities and religions and gods, it is hard to turn your back on your own culture. They had developed a culture of that. It was cool to have that. It was in style. Even to this day, we are very much prone to styles and coolness. You know, you can look around today. Do you know about every teenager? They don't know each other. They don't communicate with each other. But if you notice, if you can go to the mall or to the store or somewhere out to a ball game in Florida and in West Virginia, you never notice how much they look alike? How did that happen? By the way, it's been that way forever. It's not just now. When I look at some of the pictures from, some of y'all grew up in the 80s, I go back and look at some of the pictures of the 80s. They look exactly, or we look exactly like them. We didn't even know each other. How does that happen? Because culture is a very, very powerful thing. And when that culture starts to spread, and that's what happened, you say, well, they should have given those deities and gods up. You got to remember that. Their mommies and daddies had it. Their buddies had it. Their friends had it. It was kind of cool to have a little shrine over in the corner of your house. That was the end thing. That was the cool thing. That's what everybody did. And Joshua said, no, you're not. Not anymore. Make a choice. It's time to decide. I'm challenging you to put away those gods. That can be a lot harder than you think. I learned talking to the missionaries how hard that was. I remember Vito Aomi. He's a missionary to the northern part of India. And I remember him standing right here in the church. And he said, when I grew up, we put milk out for cobra snakes. Now, y'all forgive me, but my old country hillbilly, I was like, what? If I see a snake, honey, I'm either going to run or it's dying. Now people say, well, I love snakes. I don't. And especially a cobra. I mean, I watched enough TV in the 70s. Now you don't get near a cobra. They can spit juice 900 feet to you and hit you in the eyes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No? That's what I call it. That venom, that killing juice. I mean, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? They feeding it milk. We had when a snake come around? A hoe. That's what we fed it. Now I know people say, well, now they'll kill them mice. Well, we got mousetraps. Amen. But see, here's the thing. Beto and Naomi grew up, they would name their children after those gods. They would feed, now I can't, not only the cobras, they wouldn't, they're sitting there starving to death and got hamburger and steak walking right by them. You see, what do you mean? Listen, I don't mean to make light of that. That is very, very hard for them to give that up. That's not a joke to them. They built their society on a caste system. So when Vito, he sent us a message and said the family had gotten saved and they named their kids like Matthew or Joshua or Mark or something from the Bible, which was a big deal. They had turned their back. This is a lot. We looked and said, well, they just need to do that. That's just the way it ought to be. A lot harder than you think. A lot tougher when you have grown up thinking, hey, I'm actually helping my whole existence by giving these animals milk. I'm getting karma going in the right direction for me and my family. They tie their parents and great-grandparents and all, they have a list of them. They may have came back at that, so you better treat them correctly. And they would be very offended at me even saying that. And so when right here in God, but Joshua comes out and says, well, I'm sorry. You gotta make a choice. I'm sorry, but you can't keep doing that. We got a God in heaven that's broken those chains. We're not living under that any longer. It's a challenge. But then he's also a champion. I love this about Joshua. And this just, I don't know, y'all just forgive me this morning. It just fires me up. He just stands, and it reminds me, some of y'all that love history, it just reminds me of the speech of Patrick Henry at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, where he says, ask me, give me liberty. Holds his hands up, they said. Hold his wrist, he said, give me liberty or give me death. And sitting there with some of the greatest leaders in the history of mankind. And it spurred him to action. And when I read this morning, I see Joshua says, as for me and my house, he is the champion here. He is saying to us, as for me and my house, y'all do what you want to. You can serve a snake, you can serve another god, you can do what you want to, but this house, me and my family, me and my leadership, we are going to serve the Lord. And it's like he just puts a flag in the ground and says, here it is. Man, it does something to me as a man, does something to me as a father, as a husband, as a poppy now, as a pastor, as just a Christian, and I hope as an American, that just say, look, let's just go ahead and be serious about it and put our stake in the ground. Come what may, let's make that choice and not wishy-wash back and forth and not give in to every whim that's coming and be so scared and nervous and anxious and worrisome, but say, Lord, we're going to serve you come what may. That's what we need this morning. He become a champion for that. And by the way, when you read on to the book of Judges, they're called judges, but we could call them the champions of Israel. And every one of them had to keep making that choice. And, hey, you know what? Me and my house, well, guess what? Me and my leadership, well, guess what? They had to do it over and over and over because the enemies of God come. You got to remember now, Joshua knew about these enemies. Joshua knew about the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. He knew what they did. He knew what they did to their children. He knew who they worshiped. He knew what it was really going on. He said, you know what? Man, y'all need to make a choice. Y'all want to go that way? You go ahead. By the way, could we not say this in America this morning as we see America that I believe is slouching toward Gomorrah? I had somebody this week on social media wanted to argue with me about Romans chapter 1. We got theologians this morning that are twisting and doing everything they can. I'm like, man, let's just go ahead and put our flag up and say, you know what? I'll vote for God. We'll be that church. We'll be that family. We'll be that individual. We'll be that preacher that says, you know what? We're going to go ahead and make up our mind and be serious about this thing. Quit playing games and get on fire for God. That's what Joshua told his people. He said, make the choice. Make the choice. And when we don't make the choice, look what happens. Now, the good thing is they did. They go on and said, verse 17 says, for the Lord, I love this, for the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. They answered this right. From the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before it. And they reiterate back to, they have a little worship service here. That's right, preacher. That's right, Joshua. That's right. The Lord drave out from before all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve God, for He is our God. And then he goes on, verse 19, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. You can't have it both ways. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you that he hath done you good. I wonder if we get into the book of Judges, if somebody said, hey, wait a minute. Y'all remember Joshua? Now, they forget very quickly. They forget. God's people forget very quickly. You know, we can hear a sermon like this on Sunday morning, and you can say in your mind, you know what? Hey, that's right. Bless God. I'm going to put my flag down. I'm going to stand right there as a dad. I'm going to stand right there as a mom. I'm going to stand right there at my work and wherever it is you are in life. But man, you get about Tuesday afternoon, and man, the world's done shot at you about 10 times. You've had more discouraging phone calls and confrontations. You're like, oh man, I've been there. I did not have a wonderful week. I'd love to say, man, I just had a wonderful week and everything went my way. But it didn't. I was frustrated and aggravated. And I told Miss Cindy this. I said, I'm just in a bad mood. I know y'all never get in a bad mood. But that's what happens. Maybe they got in a bad mood. Maybe things didn't go their way. And you know what? Here's the big thing. Next thing you know. How many times we do that next thing you know, we're out of church, away from God. That's what happened to God's people. Because they had to continue making up their mind. Let me give you some points to ponder when we go home. Number one, this is still a choice today. This is still a choice. It's still going on. I'm keeping up. I have people that are in the Southern Baptist Convention that message me. I have people that are in the Methodist Convention that keep me abreast of what's going on within the United Methodist Church. I'm very interested in all kinds of things like that. So I keep my eye on a lot of those things. I've got charts that show the different beliefs and what and where they went from. I've done very detailed studies about the difference between the Arminians and the Calvinists and what's going on with all that. I'm watching it very closely all the time. I'm very interested in it. One thing that I've learned is this. It's still a choice today. We got whole groups of people today. It's a choice. We're living in a world where it could become very easy. That if you hold to the Word of God, you're going to be accused of having hate speech. I know we shared in Sunday school this morning that last year, I think it was, if I'm misquoting this, forgive me, you can look it up. In Russia, there was 300 people incarcerated for putting things on social media they shouldn't have put on, according to their government. In Great Britain and UK, it was 3,000. Think about that. And in America, I don't know if we have a statistic. You see, I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about God's Word. People try to make it political. That's not really what I'm. In fact, I want to stay as far away from that as I can. Because it's still a choice today. Our young people, our teenagers still have that choice. And they're bombarded all the time. It's still a choice for every church and every denomination, every group. It's still a choice. Whether it's the followers of Wesley or the followers of Whitfield, it's still a choice. It's still a choice. Number two, it's also a choice we have to make every day. See, I can make a choice once, but making that choice over and over again gets a little tougher, doesn't it? Right? I'm not going to ask y'all if y'all made any resolutions about eating less or exercising more, and you got about 2 weeks in, and somebody fixed one of them big old pies you like. I'm not going to confront you with that. Or you say, man, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and you get about... And you realize how weak this old flesh is. And by the way, if you think you're really good, try to sit down and really read the Bible and not get tired. You ever notice that? It's amazing. We are prone. We are fleshly. We are weak this morning. So it's still a choice we've got to make every single day. I think we forget that. I think Satan kind of dupes us with this. We have to continue doing it. And it wears on us sometimes. And I think God's people here, Joshua said, choose you this day. Go ahead and make you this choice. Got to be a choice every day. Number three, It is a choice we make for future generations. You see, it's not just us. We forget this. Joshua's coming to the end of his life. He realizes Dallas Payton's going to be preaching this. I believe he realizes posterity is going to keep talking about this. I think he realizes that John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry are going to read this. I think he realizes that leaders and followers of God are going to go back and read this. I think he realizes that God is doing something here to his own people. You see, it's a choice this morning. Did you know this morning that you are influencing future generations? You know, sometimes I get a little discouraged. I know I shouldn't, but I do. And then I think, man, is anybody listening to me preach? Is anybody even paying attention? You know, you're like, man, hurry up. Restaurant's closing. I got that pizza order for 12:15. If you go no longer than that, we got to get out of here. I'm like, well, I understand that. But then I remember I've got a little grandson, two little grandsons, little granddaughter. And it could be that somewhere down the line, they'll go back on sermon audio. They'll go back on something and say, you know, man, my poppy preached this. Why? And the reason I say that is because I, as a pastor, went back and listened to sermons of men that I've never met. We never know, church, you never know the legacy that you're leaving to your friends or to your family. And your choice is going to affect future generations. Some of you all this morning, your children and grandchildren are in church because you chose. And God used that and blessed that. And then lastly, we'll close this morning. God's people still need to make a declaration. Too much. Hey, listen, man, we go to play basketball. We'll play basketball this week. When you go in, man, they'll have an eagle plastered across. Go Eagles! I'm a Cowboys fan, so boo Eagles. But anyway, they'll have a big sign. Go, go, go. I mean, they're out and, hey, this is our team. We're going to go for them. And by the way, I think it's great. They make a declaration. Number one, we're number one. Stadiums will be filled today out in this country with people rooting for their team, watching. People need to make a declaration for the Lord. And the reason is because the world knows. The world is looking to see if somebody's going to make a declaration. Your friends and neighbors are seeing, hey, are they those people that have choose you this day? And I know they're going to scoff and make fun, but the world needs to know. Your enemies need to know. You know, we're kind of afraid. Well, I don't want Satan shooting at us. Like, well, he's going to shoot anyway. You might as well go ahead and dive in the pool, honey. You know, sometimes we kind of wade in. And Joshua has the idea, by the way, if you know anything about water, if you wade in and you just get your feet wet, you're uncomfortable and cold and like, man, this ain't that great. You're wet, honey. You might as well go ahead and go all the way in. And by the way, if you notice, if you get in deep, you're better off. You see, too much time we wade. I read a whole article about that this week. Let our family know. Let our families know. Let it be no doubt. It's a famous speech in West Virginia, Mountaineer lore, when Bill Stewart got up. And every now and then somebody will repost that on social media and I'll watch that. He says, leave no doubt. And it's famous to Mountaineer people. Because he just says, leave no doubt who we are. You go, that's right, let's go. I want to say to you this morning, leave no doubt. To your neighbor and friend, to your wife or your spouse, or however it is in your life, hey, leave no doubt about it. I mean, they come by your graveside and they look down and see that name. They may not know everything about your life. I tell you what, they left no doubt to their family, to their legacy. There's no question about it. And then most importantly, as we close, God knows. Make a declaration. Now, God knows the heart. And God knows those secret followers. I understand that. Aren't you glad He knows all about it? And I know there's people in other lands that can't. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. Leave no doubt. I mean, shout it from the housetop. Shout and let everybody know. Leave no doubt. This mousy, I'm going to hold it in. I just don't want to be too radical. Let me say something to you, honey. If you even name the name of Jesus, say thank you, radical. You might as well go ahead. Hey, put that coat on. Say, yep, I'm a follower of Christ. And not to be mean, don't be arrogant. Don't be a jerk about it. Don't look down your nose at him. Hey, humbly say, I'll just go with Jesus. I'll just stand with the Lord. I'll just take the word of God. I'm making this choice. By the way, many of you have already done that. You decided a long time ago, said, hey, as for me and my house, as for me and my home, but guess what? We needed to hear it again. I'm sure that was something, because some of them said, hey, we've done that, Joshua. And I think, why did Joshua do that? There was some here in this crowd that later on were going to influence, and they hadn't. And for some reason, I don't know why, he says this, despite he's saying it to the people that you would think would not even need to hear it. And you know, today, we're living in a world, I don't know everybody's heart, and by the way, I'm not judging anybody here, but let me say this, let me encourage some of you right now, say, you know what, I want to be that young lady, that young man, that adult, that, hey, you may say, well, I'm getting older. I don't want to get away from, I made that decision years ago, I don't want to leave no doubt, no doubt that I've chosen, I've made up my mind to keep following God. Let's do that this morning. Let's all stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.